Hi, welcome to Standup's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings. I'm the chief economist within Standup. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I'd like to focus on the US GDP data for the second quarter of the year. Came in much stronger than expected, up at 2.8%. But I think when you delve into the detail behind that growth, it does suggest that overall the US economy is losing a little bit of momentum. The second area is South Africa's inflation data for the month of June that came out last week. And I think even though inflation is sitting at 5.1%, it still keeps the Reserve Bank on track to start to cut interest rates in September. So we'll go through
those.
Mentioned
in the introduction,
the US economy grew by 2.8% in the second quarter. That was well above expectations. The market was anticipating growth of 1.9%. There are two key sectors that I think are worth flagging in trying to understand where the 2.8% came from. The first is the increase in inventories. That contributed a very substantial 0.8 percentage points to the 2.8%. And I think that increase in inventories was largely unintentional. I don't think companies are purposely increasing inventory and in anticipation of strong demand over the next, say, 3 or 6 months. I think this was more companies had built up inventory and then couldn't sell it as anticipated, and they ended up with excess inventory. The second, I think, is worth flagging is the government sector. Government contributed 0.5 percentage points to the quarterly growth rate. And I think that contribution is not really what we're trying to capture in terms of underlying growth dynamic. The US government has been adding a reasonable amount of jobs in the last few months, and they seem to be spending a little bit more on things like healthcare and some local infrastructure, but not necessarily a sustainable growth dynamic. And I think that over the coming quarters, you'll see the growth component slow down a little bit, considering that it's at a fairly elevated level going into the election in November. If you add the inventories and the government component together, then you've got more or less half of the growth rate in the quarter. The rest of the growth was largely driven by consumer spending on services. That remains kind of the robust element of the US economy. And it tells us that if spending on services were to soften, then clearly the US economy would lose significant momentum. Outside of spending on services, consumer spending on goods, be it durable, non-durable, that was a little bit more subdued. And I think there is evidence that the consumer is pulling back on some of the retail items. And generally, we've seen retail sales within the US soften. And we've also seen the labor market go a little bit weaker. We've seen the unemployment rate move up to 4.1%. And we've also seen a depletion of excess inventories. So my conclusion is that, yes, the 2.8% is fairly impressive, but the underlying growth dynamic of the US economy is more a softening or a moderation in growth. It doesn't suggest that the US economy is going into a recession. I think in order for the US to have a recession, you've got to see outright job losses. We're not seeing it at this stage. We're simply seeing fewer jobs being added on a monthly basis. And so I think for the moment, you'd be talking about a soft landing or a slowdown in economic activity during the remainder of this year and into next year. And then once you get interest rates coming through, interest rate cuts coming through, which I think will start in September, then you would start to anticipate a resumption of economic activity or an upswing in the economy during the course of 2025, but more realistically 2026. So there's nothing in the data that would suggest excess demand or a real vibrancy within the US economy, but equally there's nothing in the data that is flagging that the US is going into a recession. We need to continue to watch, because obviously if the US did go into recession, I think financial markets are not priced for that. So the more important risk is the risk to the downside. But for the moment, decent growth. But I think you'll see a moderation in activity.
South Africa's inflation
data for the month of June was released last week, and the CPI index went up only 0.1% month on month. That's relatively modest under any circumstance, and certainly the lowest increase we've had for a number of months. If we break down that increase, there are a couple of areas that I think are worth flagging. The first is there was a further decline in the petrol price, and that deducted 0.2 percentage points. And we're going to see a further reduction in the petrol price in the July data. So we're in a phase of petrol price reductions, and clearly that's helping the inflation data, at least in the short term. On the upside, we did have food contributing 0.1, but when we break down that element, it was really non-alcoholic beverages and not really the core of the food basket. And so I'm less concerned about that. I think overall food inflation in South Africa remains reasonably under control. It's gone below the midpoint of the inflation target. And I think for the next couple of months at least, food inflation, I think, will remain controlled. We've seen a little bit of pressure at the agriculture and producer level, but none of that pressure is expected to filter through in a significant way to the retail price of food. So I think food inflation, at least, as I said earlier, reasonably under control. There was also a sizable contribution from rental inflation in South Africa, which is measured within the housing component. That added 0.1 percentage points to the monthly increase. And that's got a lot to do with the way in which we measure rentals, be it owner's equivalent rent or actual rentals that came through during the month that was anticipated. But the thing that stands out for me from that data is if you look at the year-on-year increase in rental inflation, it's very modest. Owner's equivalent rent sits at 2.8%. Actual rentals sit at around 3%, and that would suggest that there's very little real rental pressure in South Africa. And I think that in itself is indicative of a weak economy. It's also indicative of a housing market that has been under pressure for many years. Outside of Cape Town, there isn't really upside pressure on house prices, and so you can imagine that rental costs are also fairly subdued. And so that has become a huge benefit to keeping our inflation rate under control. Rental inflation is the single biggest component of our inflation basket. It has a higher weight than food within the CPI. And so if the cost of renting a house sits at around 3%, there's no doubt that that helps to keep the overall inflation rate fairly subdued. It also tells us that if we go into a higher growth phase in South Africa, and that growth phase is accompanied by an increase in employment, then we're likely to see a demand for housing going up. And as soon as the demand for housing goes up, we're also likely to see an escalation in the cost of rents. And so there has to be upside risk to the rental element of the inflation basket. I don't think that upside element is likely to materialize over the next year or two, simply because the economy remains subdued. But if we look further out, let's say over the next 3 or 4 years, then yes, there is an upside potential. And it's in a strange way indicative of increased or vibrant economic activity. And so there is a positive element to that if there were to be higher demand for housing within South Africa. But from an inflation perspective, it could become a bit of a hindrance for the South African Reserve Bank. But as I say at the beginning, overall, the rental component fairly subdued. So if we look at inflation going forward, it sits at 5.1%. That's still a fair bit above the Reserve Bank's effective target of 4.5%. But I think over the coming months, we'll see inflation move well below 4.5%. The Reserve Bank has inflation ending the year at 4.3%. I think that's fairly realistic, which means the Reserve Bank should be in a position to start to cut interest rates by the time we get to September. And I think we should go through a phase where inflation is reasonably subdued and we can have successive cuts in interest rates during the course of next year. Clearly, that over time will start to help the economy and help to get the economy a little bit more vibrant during 2026. So I think right now, even though inflation looks like it's a little sticky, it's a little bit on the high side, I think over the coming year, we're going to be pleasantly surprised by more subdued inflation and therefore success.
So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.